So I'm going to start this morning by referring to a text which is probably familiar to all of us and which actually comes shortly before the gospel reading that we just heard. Before he went south to Jericho, Jesus was, as usual, teaching and healing when a ruler asked Jesus what he must do to inherit eternal life. Jesus told him to sell everything that he had and give to the poor. But the ruler went away sad at this response, since he was a wealthy man, which led Jesus to say that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And everyone asked, well, who then can be saved? And Jesus responded, what is impossible with humans is possible with God. In other words, God can do miracles in people's lives. And a few verses on, in today's gospel, such a miracle occurs in the life of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He collected money for the Romans. This is an occupied country. People didn't want to pay taxes. There weren't any 1044s. There weren't any tax tables. It was difficult to know how much tax you needed to pay. And so it was easy for tax collectors like Zacchaeus to line their own pockets and become very wealthy men. Wealthy, but universally unpopular. So no one is going to help Zacchaeus get to the front of the crowd. So he climbs a tree to get a better view of Jesus. And as a result, Jesus gets a better view of him. It was Zacchaeus who climbed the tree so that he could see Jesus. But at the end of the passage, Jesus says, "The Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost," as though he was looking for Zacchaeus. In the spiritual life, there's a phenomenon which can best be expressed as mutual seeking. We are looking for God, and God is looking for us. As we seek to draw closer to the divine, we come to realize that our action, our metaphorically climbing the tree, was actually prompted by Jesus coming to Jericho. It was prompted by God's movement towards us. But we always get to use our free will in making the move. We get to choose to turn toward God. Now, if Zacchaeus had not climbed the tree, would Jesus have noticed him? We don't know. But we do know that Jesus did not heal everyone, and Jesus did not go to everyone's house. As a human, he was unable to heal everyone in the way that the Holy Spirit, unhampered by the limitations of humanness, is able to do. The Holy Spirit is always seeking out and saving the lost. And let's face it, most of us feel pretty lost at one time or another. But we have to be willing to be found. Which reminds me of the teaching story in which a man perishes in a terrible flood. He gets to heaven and he says to God, "I prayed and I prayed, but you didn't save me." And God replies, "I sent two boats and a helicopter. You just had to get in." But I digress. Back to Zacchaeus. This must have been an astonishing moment for Zacchaeus. He comes face to face, eye to eye, with the Savior of the world. A moment in which he finds himself totally seen, totally known, totally loved. And in that is the miracle. As we seek God and find ourselves sought by God, the next step is to open our homes to God. And of course, we are talking in metaphors here. So that our homes are not our physical houses, but the homes in which we live, every area of our minds, bodies, souls, and psyches. And yes, there are going to be places which we would rather that God did not see. Doors that we don't want to open. Places that we are ashamed of. For most of us, welcoming Jesus the Christ to our homes is an ongoing, even a lifetime practice. But as we grow in trust and we are willing to let Jesus move from our very pleasant living room to the places that really we don't love, we find that God's presence transforms them with compassionate love. And the result of this miraculous transformation in Zacchaeus' life is that he gives away his riches. He gives half of his possessions to the poor and makes reparations for the money he has stolen. His response to meeting Jesus and having him come to his home is to do what the ruler, the wealthy ruler in the previous chapter, was unwilling to do, to give away his money. And that's hard to do. It's hard because we're all scared that we won't have enough. We are concerned that if we give away what we have, there won't be enough tomorrow. I find it interesting that Zacchaeus only volunteered to give away half his possessions. We're not all called to be monastics and to embrace poverty. For Zacchaeus, giving away half his possessions and promising reparations was enough. Now, this is perhaps the third movement in the soul's journey. We seek and are sought by God. We open our homes, our hearts, and lives to the sanctifying presence of the Holy Spirit. And then we give in response to God's self-giving love to us. We give of ourselves and we give of what we have, trusting that we are being cared for, trusting that there really will be enough to go around. Because in the reign of God, what we give enriches the one to whom we give and comes back to enrich us. Today, my friends, we are amongst the richest people in the world. We are rich spiritually and we are rich materially. We throw away more food than some people can imagine having in a week. There are people starving today. Our experience of God's love calls us to give selflessly and with compassion. And I encourage you, and I encourage myself, to examine, to consider our own riches and to ask, how can we live more simply so that even in these times of rising prices, we can still give generously to the ministry and mission of St. Benedict's and also for the needs of the world. Zacchaeus was a short man, but his story is huge. Despised by the people, but loved by God. He sought and found God in Jesus, was transformed, and let go of his addiction to accumulating money, instead choosing to give to those in need. We don't hear that he became more popular and that people liked him better afterwards. We don't even hear that he stopped being a tax collector. But we hear that he was brought firmly into the family of God, becoming a true son of Abraham. And in this short story, this all happened very quickly, perhaps like a time-lapse film where everything gets speeded up. For us, the process is slower. But when we meet God, welcome God into our homes, and then, as a result, live generous and compassionate lives, we know that whatever salvation really means, we have found it. And we too are the spiritual descendants of Abraham and Sarah.